Blog Talk Radio. This is a Razor Edge production, Oneness Mobility Show. It's showtime! And here is our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Greetings and welcome to Oneness Mobility Radio Show, where Oneness Mobility works wonders. I am your co-host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our host and star of this show is Mr. Bob Alfred. That's the owner, the CEO, the technician. And matter of fact, I think I saw him sweeping up the floor and getting the coffee for his guests. And his new location is located at 7913 Trident Way, and that's Cryden Way in District Heights, Maryland. And the phone number is 301-568-6686. Let's do that again. 301-568-6686. And here, my partner in crime, Mr. Bob. How you doing today, Mr. Bob?
Great, Ray. How are you today?
Oh, Bob, I'm a little sad. My mentor in radio, Mr. Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, died. Was it today or yesterday, Mr. Dane? Yeah, he was my mentor.
I saw that this morning, right?
Yeah, he was my mentor. Matter of fact, this year, 30 years ago, I met him in 1994. When he first came to Washington, he was working for WWRC, the white station, and I was the president. I was a member of the Native Washingtonian Club in D.C., and we was putting on a mural forum. The mayor's was raised for the forum, and I was on the committee to put that form together, and we was looking for a person to MC to moderate the program, and so I had mm-hmm. saw him at a event. I mean, at a media event. He was one of the speakers along with Tom Sherwood, which a lot of people know, and some other people. And I spoke to him when he was going out, introduced himself and told me, you know, he had just came from Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, and he was new in town, and he was on this radio show. So we was having that discussion about, well, who was going to get to moderate the mayor forum? And I said, what about this fellow Joe Madison? They said, oh, no, he an Oriole. He black on the outside, white on the inside. He worked for that WWRC radio station and stuff. And we don't want him over there. We want to get somebody else. Let's get this dude name. And he was very popular, named Alan. He worked at WOL. He was Kathy Hughes' co-host at their show, WOL. And they said, well, let's get him. And then I said, well, Raymond, I wasn't a reverend then. They say you the one to make the decision because we chose you, but we wanted to get the black brother Allen over there, and I chose and I called up Joe Manson. I was impressed with him and I asked him to do it. So they was mad with me. As a matter of fact, Kathy Hughes was so upset with me. I don't know if I told you this, Renee, that she was so upset with me that she blasted us out on her radio show. Say, yeah, and that NAACP, I mean, say, yeah, and that Native Washingtonian Club, all I'd have done for them and stuff, and they going to let somebody else, what you call them, oh, they blasted me, matter of fact, to the point on the radio that I had to go down to her radio show and called her outside, and we had to talk, and we, you know, and straightened out how, you know, and stuff, yeah. And so he did that. He did it, and that was his first venture and his first high profile of doing something in D.C. And that sort of springboard him to, you know, doing other stuff. And after him and Kathy Hughes started talking, he left that station, and then he went to WOL. But talked to him. Yeah, I just talked to him like 2 months ago. I used to stay in touch with him because the fellow that Robert Gatewood that does our website, he also does Joe Madison's website and stuff.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah, so it was sad. That's a great loss for the people. But be that as it may, life must go on. And one thing the teacher said, because he just had too long wrote a book, and he was sort of, you know, going around doing some book reviews and book signing and stuff like that. But I know when I had talked to him, he had talked about, you know, how because when they said, well, why you left WOL and go to Siri, and a radio station, and he said, look, you know, you have to look out for your family, you know, when you're making decisions and stuff, you know, if I'm going to be making enough to take in my family if something should happen to me. You know, so people just never know, you know, said, that's before Kathy Hughes started becoming the billionaire, but he said, you just never know what's going to happen to you. So he had to make that move, that offer. They offered him. He couldn't refuse that offer. You never know. And, you know, he was on the same age I am, 74 years old. And, you know, nowadays, that's not old. I mean, that's not old being 74. You know, people living, you know.
Not when we have a lot of we have a lot of centenarians. A lot of people are turning 100.
I'm telling you, here where I work at, full disclosure for Councilman Hawkins in Prince George County, at one time if somebody turned 100, they thought it was such a big deal, they would do a proclamation on it on Tuesday. They do a proclamation. They stopped doing it because so many people was turning 100, they couldn't keep up with all the proclamation.
Yeah.
So that's how many people, you know, get older there. But be that as it may, you know, we learned something. And like I say, I talked to him about 3 months ago, and, you know, and he was just saying, you know, you just never know. And that was his biggest thing, taking care of his family and stuff. And he had his wife work for him and his daughter work for him. He taught them. He had them trained by his engineers and stuff to run his board and stuff. So they was the ones that ran his board, you know, and for his radio show and, you know, answer the phones and stuff like that and all that kind of stuff when guests call. So, you know. So anyway, you just
well,
never know.
You know, yeah, well, we do want to extend our condolences to the Black Eagles family and friends.
Yeah.
And he was a pioneer in radio. And we have a pioneer on the
yes.
radio today, Bob Alford. And so we are going to start our show in the memory of the training that you did receive from the Black Eagle. So independence is happiness, and that's a quote from Susan B. Anthony and our host and star of this Oneness Mobility radio show, Bob Alford, wants to make it so for persons who need their vehicles modified so that they can remain independent. So again, Bob, welcome so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, Bob, remind us, what is the mission of Oneness Mobility?
Well, Renee, our mission is to make sure that our folks with special needs get the attention that they need to be able to live their lives in a high quality of travel and to be able to travel as a passenger or a driver and to be safe at it.
Okay. Well, you know, with 10,000 persons turning 65 a day, and this being the generation that grew up with automobiles, they aren't ready to give up their wheels. So this week we're opening our mailbag, and so you will be answering questions from our listening audience. So a listener emailed, do swivel seats require a prescription? And what are transfer seats?
No, does not, Renee. You can get a six-way power seat installed in a vehicle and not need a prescription for it.
Okay. And what's a transfer seat?
Well, it's the same thing. Some call them swivel seats and some call them transfer seats, but they're one in the same.
Ah, okay.
And what's the purpose of it?
The purpose of it is so that a person who is in a wheelchair can enter into a vehicle and then transfer because the seat actually turns around, raises up, so they can transfer from their wheelchair to a regular captain seat and then drive from that position. Or it could be a seat that is in the vehicle that actually comes outside of the vehicle and pick them up and put them in the driving position or put them in the passenger position.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to demonstrate one. Who was that man that used to go around and do all these things and show it on TV? I forgot. He was very popular. You know, he used to go all these places to show how people did stuff. Yeah, that's what I want to see, get in that seat and get spinned around and all that kind of stuff. See. And, Bob, the other question on that, can any vehicle, or say if somebody say, oh, I want to get me a seat like that, can anybody, you know, any type of car, do you have to know what type of vehicles that will work with?
Well, they pretty much got a wide band of vehicles that these seats can be outfitted in, but I would also tell the customer to give us a call to make sure that car is compatible for. So some in the, if you wanted the seat to come outside of the vehicle, some will not be able to make it in the driving position. Some will only be in the passenger position. Some have a situation where they can be put in the secondary backseat area. Some can't be. So just give us a call first. Let us know what you're thinking about, and we'll find out whether or not that car is compatible to what you want to do, and then we're off and running.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, here's another question. Are there any modifications that don't require a prescription?
Prescriptions are for driving equipment. If it is non-driving equipment, you do not need a prescription.
Oh, okay.
Anything that has to do with driving has to have a prescription.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And for someone who may have missed an earlier show, Bob, refresh our memory about vehicle modification and what is a prescription.
Okay, so if you're going to drive in the United States of America and you're going to be using an adapter equipment, hand controls, that sort, you need to be trained by a CDR, which is a certified driver trainer, who trains folks with special needs to drive with special equipment. Once you get that prescription, then you then have that vehicle outfitted and then go back to your driver trainer to make sure that everything is installed in your vehicle and you can use it safely. And then you go to Motor Vehicles and get that. They're letting Motor Vehicles know that you want to be certified on driving a car with that equipment. And they will give you, after you finish your road test, you will get a pass on that and get exemption on your license that you would have, that you can drive any car with that equipment on, or you can only drive a car with that kind of equipment on it.
Okay. Well, we're up against the break, so we're going to take our break. And when we come back on the other side, we want to talk about trim kits.
Okay. is that when you get in the bar?
You are listening. You are listening to the Oneness Mobility Radio Show, where getting you back on the road is our goal. We are heard here every second and third Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So basically, Bob, what you're saying is your cousin Benny cannot install your equipment.
Absolutely not. Rena, you must be a trained certified technician to work with this equipment. Must be registered with National Highway and also have been trained by the manufacturer of that equipment.
But if I can buy it online, how come I can't install it?
And you must carry a $1.5 million liability clause on the liability insurance.
Oh, my. Okay. So being able to buy it online is not sufficient.
Oh, no. No. You can buy anything online, but what you buy online, you have to install. You're not going to get a certified mobility engineer to install equipment on a vehicle that you do not have a prescription for.
So let me ask you, if someone caught driving a vehicle like that and they do have hand controls and someone installed them and they had an accident or something like that, would the person get fined or whatever when the question is?
It gets real. Well, that's why we have a lot of clients who go out and search the market and they're looking for used vehicles with driving equipment in it. So they can bypass going through all of the red tape. Now, it is up to them to be certified on that equipment. And I'm saying if they have an incident where someone is seriously hurt, a lot of questions will come up to about that equipment and where it came from and who did it and da-da-da-da-da. Because we have to send in paperwork to National Highway to let them know that we have modified a vehicle. So there's a lot of paper that chases these vehicles around. So we know who it was built for because we have little telltales on the vehicle that tells us who built it and when they built it, and who they built it for.
Now,
so you
Bob,
can't, it's hard to get around us now.
So, Bob, you
make sure
about
we take care of all of the safeties about these vehicles
exactly.
when it comes to
and
driving
you know,
equipment.
And we continue to emphasize that because it's so important. It's not that you can't get your cousin Benny to install it, but we are solely concerned with the safety of both the person who's driving or the person who's riding and the other person in another vehicle. Bob, does trim kits come in here? What exactly is a trim kit? And again, is that something you can buy online and install?
No, well, what I was talking about when I was talking about the trim kits, Renee, is that all vehicles have a different trim kit. So like Honda Odyssey comes in four or five different trim kits, and that's an EX, EXL, a Sport, a Touring, or an Elite. And each one of those have different trims inside the vehicle and outside of the vehicles. And for a lot of our folk, they go and spend a lot of money on these elaborate trim kits. So you can go and get an XL or EX and an Elite. Elite is top of the line Honda Odyssey. Well, a lot of the stuff, if you're going to be using that to change it over to an accessible wheelchair vehicle, a lot of that stuff is going to be wasted.
Oh.
Okay. If you buy a vehicle with a sunroof and you're a driver, you lose 3 inches of head space in the front seat. You talk about radios, the audio systems. So, you know, your standard audio system in a Honda Odyssey's got 7 speakers. 160 watts. Well, if you go to the Elite model, it goes with 11 speakers, 550 watts. Ah, sounds like we're going to get a hearing aid quick, right? Too much wattage. So now you look at the fact that you used to go get a navigation system in your, for your cars and all that. Now you don't. You plug your phone up to them, and everything from your phone works in the car. Your nav works from your telephone, so you don't have to spend money on that. I got a cute one for you, remote starts. Everybody wants to get a remote start put in their car so they can crank it up, turn on the air condition, or turn the heat on, get the car nice and warm before they come out. Guess what? In the state of Maryland, 5 minutes idling your car, law. D.C., zero on idling your car. Virginia, 3 minutes idling your car. In that time frame, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, dead cold, it ain't never going to warm up. You see what I'm saying? So there's some things that we're spending money on that we can just forget because we're never going to really use them to their full advantage.
Okay, so Bob, if someone is interested in a vehicle, can they come and before they purchase the vehicle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just with a new vehicle, Ms. Renee. I would love for folks to come to, and I have them to come to bring me that used vehicle that they're thinking about buying so we can go through that to make sure that vehicle is what it's being sold as and everything is working in it. And that it is, it will pass Maryland or Virginia state inspections.
Now, you can't ask for more than that. Reb, you wanted to jump in here and ask a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know exactly what the trim kit was. I mean, what does it do?
The trim kit is what's inside of the vehicle. That's either the leather seats, the cloth seats, that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's trim.
Call in the automotive world a trim kit. That's what's inside of that vehicle.
Oh, okay.
All those little extras that you pay for that you're going to throw away.
Oh.
Now, Bob, I want to ask another question. There was a automobile show here in Washington, D.C. this last week. Does Oneness Mobility ever go down to the automobile show to show modified vehicles for persons with disabilities?
We have done it years back, and I'm talking way back, and had been thinking about getting back in it. We made the cost on these shows are just astronomical. We got a show coming up. I just saw a thing coming up in Shen. Oh, gosh. It's coming up in the next couple of months that it's going to be a mobility show. So they do have shows that specialize for folks with mobility issues. And you'll find a lot of the vehicles there on display.
Well, you know, here again, going back to one of our statistics, that 10,000 persons a day are turning 65. And so, again, this is that generation that grew up with automobiles, and they want to stay on four wheels as long as they can. So sometimes I know in my own experience, I might see something that I don't need, but it triggers my mind like, oh, you know, I know somebody that could benefit from that. So I just wondered if you were at something like the car show and whether or not you showed the modifications that can be made on a vehicle. Now, we're talking about modifications. So if driving can't be made possible for a person living with a disability, modifications can still be made to the vehicle to transport a person with a disability and to maintain their independence. So we're still in the mailbag, and so the next person asks, drop floors versus raised roofs, which one?
Well, it used to be in the day, because vehicles, you were able to raise the tops on vehicles because you had to, because the doorway on a standard vehicle was only 48 inches. So therefore, people needed 57 inches or better to get inside of a vehicle sitting in a wheelchair. So that's where the raised top and the raised doors came from. Now we have vehicles that automatically have what's called high tops, low tops, and super tops. So therefore, that style of modifying trucks went out. So now you just buy a truck with a raised top on it already, and the doors come with it. But it's designed for the fact that you need 57 inches on a standard door for a person sitting in a wheelchair. I've seen it where you need a little bit more. We've had some,
Okay.
So that's what that's all about. So now, lower floor minivans, you can go to a lower floor minivan, which is a standard. The better ones to deal with if you got a height thing is they have commercial ones, which gives you a 57-inch door clearance, which will get you inside of that vehicle a lot more. But you must remember, in a minivan, if you're a person with a big chair, you're very limited to the space that you have inside of that vehicle. And the doorways are like 30 inches, so you need to be able to get that chair between those doors.
Okay. That's good information to know. Another question from the mail bag. Ramps, do you build them, and do they damage the vehicle?
We do not build ramps for vehicles. For here's the problem with a ramp, and most people don't think of, but here's the scenario. For every inch of height to legally go on a ramp, you need a foot of ramp. So every inch is a foot of ramp. So if you're 20 inches up in the air, you need a 20-foot ramp. If that's 30 inches, you need 30 feet of ramp. Where are you going to carry that much ramp? Therefore, you get rid of the ramp and you put a lift in the vehicle.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So when you look at a building and you go to a building and the ramp goes right to left, right to left, right to left, that's because the height is too high to go straight out. So they bring them right to left, right to left.
The things we learn on this show. Well, listen, we're right up against the break, so we're going to take our station break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to pull out questions from our mailbag. Okey-dokey. Okay, we're having a little trouble here on the, and there it goes. You are listening to the Oneness Mobility Radio Show, where getting you back on the road is our goal. We are heard here every second and third Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Are you looking for an active older adult group that care about all of the issues facing older adults? Check out AARP number 939 of Suitland, Maryland, the only chapter in Prince George's County. President Catherine Williamson invites you to join her the first Tuesday of every month The next meeting is Tuesday, the 6th of February, at the Knights of Columbus Hall, and that's located at 3611 Stewart Road in District Heights, Maryland, at 12 o'clock noon. That again is the Knights of Columbus Hall, District Heights, Maryland, on Tuesday, the 6th of February at noon. Need more information? Email them at aarp939@yahoo.com. aarp939@yahoo.com. And back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our co-host, Bob Alford. And the show is Oneness Mobility Radio Show. Gentlemen.
So we've got another question in our baggie.
We sure do. The next question, I guess we don't need to answer, said, is a ramp a requirement for a wheelchair different than one for a scooter? I think you've already answered that for us. So a scooter would also use the lift?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, here's the
now, let
question.
Me go back you up a little bit, Ms. Ray. There's a myth. So anyone that's really out there that's riding in a three-wheel scooter, for their safety eyes, we like the fact that they take and get on a lift and be raised up into the vehicle. Once they're inside of the vehicle, transfer from that three-wheel scooter and get occupy one of the seats that are in the vehicle so they can ride safely.
Ah, okay. Now, is that, would they need a transfer seat back there also?
No, they can, generally, if they're in a three-wheel scooter, they can transfer from that to a regular seat. And being that it is a three-wheel scooter, it's like a tricycle in World War. So if you turn the wheels the wrong way, you'll flip and throw yourself out of it. So it's not the world's greatest or safest thing to ride in inside of a vehicle.
Okay. Okay, so do you install, do you build or do you install the lifts?
We install the lifts. We use different manufacturers that we buy our lifts from, which is Bronze or Rycon,
okay,
depending on the application and what the customer likes. And then that way we could either put the vehicle in the lift inside the vehicle or underneath of the vehicle.
Okay, here's another question from the mailbag. Can a vehicle be used when not transporting a person using a lift or swivel seats?
Can it be what now? I missed that one.
Can a vehicle be used when not transporting a person with a disability, I guess, basically is what.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So for instance, if you have a electronic, a left-foot accelerator, and a person is driving it that is normal, in order to engage the electronic left-foot accelerator, you must turn it on. We don't tell them how to turn it on. Okay, and we tell the customers not to tell them how to turn it on. But you can drive a vehicle with hand controls. We have the hand controls have cutoffs on them that it will stop them from accelerating the vehicle. They'll still have the capabilities of putting on the brakes or whatever, but we just tell folks, leave your driving equipment alone. And you'll find that anyone can drive that car. Just use it like you would normally drive a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've answered that question. Let's go to another one.
Let me ask you a question, Ms. Renee. Bob, because you mentioned Virginia, you mentioned Maryland,
and all, and we right here in the tri-state. All the states vary in differences in terms of prescription, in terms of what constitute, you know, having the vehicle modified. Is the state relatively the same, or because we're so close? Say somebody getting hand controls what you're doing, but you know they move to Virginia or they live in Virginia, and then they need to go get them. I don't know, you know, service or whatever.
No. So they all, and I hear what you said, but see, here's where the catch-all is, right? They're all under National Highway.
National Highway
controls the roads that are in the United States of America. So those laws that are here for one is here for all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're ready for another question?
Yes.
Okay. Do extra height and length have to be considered when parking a modified vehicle?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, Mr. May, most of our vehicles which have tall roofs on them have been scraped because someone forgot that it is a little bit up in the air. Okay, so they got to go through the McDonald's or the bank, and they knock a hole in their roofs because they got a sign up there saying, oh, we're only going to allow 8 feet here, and you got 11. That ain't going to make it. Okay, so, yeah, you'll find a lot of vans with the tops damaged on them. Now, let's go the other way. So now you got a lower floor mini van, and it's been dropped. It says, oh, do not try to go over that speed hump at 50 miles an hour. You ain't going to make it. Okay, so we can go, you know, you just have to be mindful of what you're driving and where you drive. These cars will go that. Now, the height, you ain't going on anything low. The speed humps, if you slow the car down, you can make it over because they're all designed to go over them, but not when you're trying to do 35, 40 miles an hour jumping over speed humps.
So, Bob, let me ask you about the trend in the last 15 years or so, and now you even see it on television, and when they're making movies now, everybody using basically SUVs. Now, how come? Is it comfortable or the size? I mean, how come, you know, I mean, now you just see SUVs just about, it's like standard, you know?
Well, here's the thing, right? So you take the little cars that are out here now, very small. So when my wife's car went out her years ago, and I had, no, it was not. I was working on it. I was putting brakes on it or something. Anyway, so she wanted to go to the store, and I said, well, if you're going to go to the store, the only thing you can do is drive my truck, my pickup truck. Well, I figured she wasn't going to drive it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, I heard it start up, and she was gone. She came back home, and she brought her little stuff back at home. Next thing I know, I heard the truck start up again. Wow, she's gone again. I said, what in the world is going on? She says, you know what? I found out something. I said, what? She said, I like this truck. I says, what? Hmm. She says, I'm up in the air. I can see.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So that's what happens when folks drive SUV. They can see, right? They're up in the air.
Okay.
And in a van, they can see. They're not looking at the ground as much on in these little cars.
Oh, that kind of see. Because I thought, I thought maybe if I bought me an SUV and jump in and I'd be able to see, I'm up high. Okay, that's different. Okay. Oh, that's different.
Oh, that was cute, Ray.
Now, Bob, I just want to ask you. Go ahead, Rev.
No, I was just saying I was just looking at the limit on my credit card. Okay, go ahead.
Now, Bob, I know you've been around vehicles all your life. How old were you when you started driving?
16.
16. Okay. I just want to tell this story because you talked about the SUV. My granddaughter is 17 years old, and when I grew up in the Midwest near Ford Motor Company, Chevrolet, Detroit's only 2 hours away, so we were car crazy. My granddaughter wanted to drive to school, and her father offered her the vehicle, an SUV to drive, and she said, "I don't want to drive that. The kids tease me. It's a mom mobile."
Yeah.
I was trying to swallow my tongue. I said, "Wait, you're driving. What do you care what you're driving? You're driving. It's a mom mobile." That's what she told me.
Like the station wagon nowadays. Nobody wants to drive a station wagon, right?
I'll tell you what.
I would have driven anything that had four wheels. Me personally.
Yes. My first car that my parents had, because there were six of us, you know, it had to be a station wagon. So that's where I learned to drive on, a station wagon.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a while before I got a car, but I learned to drive on a station wagon. And so you had to, if you wanted to drive, you had to drive what was in the yard.
Right.
I can see your station wagon, and I can match it. My first car was a Rambler.
Oh my God!
I paid $150 for.
Oh my God! You poor thing. Of all the cars, a Rambler. Well, I can beat you, Renee. I had a '59 Mercury Parkland. Four-door Rascal, power windows, power brakes, automatic, $125.
Well, my heart was broken.
And air conditioning.
I had
air conditioning. We put down four wheels.
I had windows up. No, I had windows up, Renee.
I had windows up.
Okay, going from the 1950s, where people pretty much living in the suburbs, one-car families, some people could afford the two-car families, then we move into the 70s, and everybody, you know, driving, and people working in the government, civil service people, easy to go to the credit union and buy a car and all. And then we, you know, now we move into where we are now, the 21st century. And the price of cars, Bob, and what they cost and what it costs to maintain them, I heard on the radio today that they have an organization called Something Fix It, where they are appealing to the government and that the manufacturers make things where people can fix them. It seems as though the manufacturers are purposely making things where people can't repair them. The manufacturers say they don't carry the parts where people can buy them. So given that, is that the same thing with the cars as well, that they're going in that direction, that, you know, you buy a car, you're not going to be able to run out and put the oil in it and change it and put this in, a filter in it and all of that kind of stuff, and the pods and that. Well, you just don't have the technical skills. So are they purposely doing that as well in the car manufacturing business?
Well, I'll go with the car manufacturers for a minute. When there are certain things that, or skills that you must have to work on a vehicle, and the car is now so much technical, and for safety reasons, there I would see where a car manufacturer would say, let's not make them that so easy that the shade tree mechanics or the weekend warriors can get in there and work on. I've opened some hoods on some cars, and you can't see the motor. They got so much stuff sitting on top. You just can't see it. By the time you take all of this stuff off to get to the motor, you know, wasted a day. And if you don't have the tools to get it apart, you ain't never going to get it apart. So what they did, they said, okay, so to keep Harry homeowners from going out here working on a car, let's make a special tool so they can't get it apart. And they can't buy the tool. It's only a factory tool.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It gets cute out there, you know?
But it sounds like both.
And it's, well, it is. It is. It ain't. But, you know, the argument can be made on both sides.
Right.
Exactly. No, I could see that. I thought it was that old adage of built-in obsolescence. You know, they build it in so that it's out of date almost before you get it off the show floor. But you're talking about safety issues that are so much more. Unfortunately, when you hear our music, you know what that means. So let's go to break. And then we got a few more questions in our mailbag. And, okay, Reverend Ray, I don't think we're going to be able to work on our car. So
we might have to take it to oneness. Yeah. Even
hopefully we'll have that special tool.
Well, you are listening to Oneness Mobility Radio Show, where getting you back on the road is our goal. We are heard here every second and third Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our co-host, Bob Alford, CEO, head mechanic, dishwasher, and some other stuff over at Oneness Mobility.
I am your co-host and the star and host of Oneness Mobility is Mr. Bob Alfred. And again, they're located at 7913 Trident Way, C-R-Y-D-E, Way. And that C-R-Y don't mean, you know, Bob going to charge you so much money, you're going to be coming out of there crying. But if you got to bring your vehicle in, bring it in as close to your payday as you can, because you are going to have to look at that. And the phone number is 301-568-6686. That's 301-568-6686. And Bob, now people can just come in at any time, and the hours, I'm sorry, is what, from what to what?
We are open from 7:30 in the morning till 5 in the evenings, Mondays through Fridays. And you do not need an appointment to bring your vehicle in. We would like for you to schedule an appointment so we can get you in and out of here as quick as possible. Most of the time, we're going to get you out the same day. You may have a little longer wait without an appointment, but we have not let a customer down yet. We'll get them out of here.
I'm there at the headquarters. I call it Oneness Mobility headquarters. I was there yesterday, and a little girl was playing. I didn't know if she was driving or just with the mom or what. And Bob had got them in there. Did they have an appointment, Bob, or did they just drop in?
They just showed up.
Okay, what the little kid said. So she was asking a lot of questions and stuff like that, but they were just interested. All right, Ms. Renee, what we got?
Okay, well, just a few more queries from listeners. Do you need a handicap parking tag for a modified vehicle?
Yes, if you're going to park it in a handicap spot.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I noticed I heard something.
You know that we have vehicles that are not handicapped vehicles per se with equipment and all being modified as a van with a lift in it or lower floor minivan and all that kind of stuff that have parking stickers. And that's for folks who cannot walk far or have some type of disability that requires them to park up close. So all vehicles that are parked in a handicapped spot are not, per se, handicapped vehicles in a sense of adaptation.
Okay.
So I don't want everybody to be looking around saying, oh, that car doesn't have a lift. It doesn't have hand controls. It don't have that. It's because that person has a disability that requires them to park close.
Now, Bob, this might be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but I do want to ask you a question, and this pertains to hang tags, which is a personal sore spot with me. When you have a hang tag for handicap, is it for a person who has a physical disability, or could it be a non-visible disability?
That's what we were just talking about, Ms. Ray. Yes. And because you don't know what that disability is, you look at a guy that parks his car, and he's getting out of a BMW, you know, rag top down. He looks fine. And he's parking his car in a handicapped spot. He put up his little tag, and you're saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with him. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people hollering at him and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know what
right,
his
right,
limitations
people
are.
Hollering at him. Yeah, right. Right, Mr.
Yeah, you don't know what his limitations are.
It, right,
so,
exactly.
he may have two artificial hips, two artificial knees, can't walk far, you know, runs out of breath if he has to walk far. When they give them these stickers, they're giving them to them because there is a reason for them. Now, I have seen where the nephew, the cousin, blah, 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 Billy, blah, everybody wants to use that car with that sticker because they can park close. And there's nothing wrong with them, and I feel folks jumping up and down about that. But we can't govern that. The only thing we can govern is the fact that that car has a license sticker in the window that matches that car. And that's the only thing the police can do is that if there's a legal sticker, that's why you have so many people stealing them.
Yes. No, we had somebody breaking our car to steal the hang tag, and Bob, they didn't rifle the glove box or the console in between. They did nothing but take that hang tag, and what do you call it? The deductible on the insurance was $150. So when I had the guy come out and just put the glass in, it was $150. So I didn't bother my insurance. But that's exactly what they did. Okay.
They want that hang tag. But see, what they failed to realize is those tags should be registered to that vehicle that it's in. And if it is, then if folks are paying attention to it, there's... You know, it's the wrong sticker in the wrong car.
Well, I guess people just glance in the window and just see that tag there and just, and keeping up, getting up, especially people that be parking and, you know, going to church and parking in the church lot. You know, the people. You'll be thinking about they tag hustler, you know.
Unfortunate. Like anything else, Ray, you know, folks can take advantage of whatever they can take advantage of. But hopefully they'll leave those parking spots for the folks that really need it.
You know what? We're almost at the end
of
the show.
Okay.
Well, do you want to go ahead and ask your question, Rev?
Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of spots, Bob, as more building is done as far as apartments, especially commercial space, are they taking in consideration that the population is getting older and, you know, and people can't walk as far, people, you know, becoming more handicapped with disabilities? And so are they built in their architecture that you are aware of, or putting in more handicapped parking spaces?
Well, yeah, Ray, you know, I was interested because I heard something the other day that took me by surprise, that Prince George's County is really up on that, and there's more housing being developed here in the county that are accessible for folks with special needs. And
good.
Therefore, there are parking spots there for. And if you don't have a spot, you can always go to Motor Vehicles and request a parking spot designated in front of your house for you to park your vehicle.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's new information.
Oh yeah. So if you want to get close up to your apartment or whatever, your house, park in front of your house, you go and get them. They'll come out and mark you out a spot.
Wow.
Now
well,
I tell you something.
My sister
has a spot in D.C. Now D.C. is a little bit on the tricky side, because the sign is way up in the air. You got to look way up. I said, so where's your spot at? She said, right there. I said, where's the sign? She said, look up. And I was like, wow. Why is it so high? Well, here's the deal. If you don't look up, D.C. just picked up $250
off
of you.
That's intentional.
But you better pay attention to what's going on, because there's a lot of handicapped spots that you got to look up to see the sign.
And you know, gentlemen, because language has changed, and we now use the term persons with disabilities. It's the same way with those parking spots. They're not referred to as handicapped anymore. They're referred to as reserved. And again, you know, we name ourselves, and so persons in the disability community prefer reserved versus handicapped. But listen, I have time for one more question from the mailbox, and you may have answered this already, but it's in the mailbox, and we want to ask it for our listener. Can someone come into Oneness Mobility for a consultation?
All day.
And what were those hours again?
7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning till 5 in the evening.
And that address, one more time, Rev.
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And that address is 7913, yeah, Crodden. That's Crodden, C-R-Y-D-E-N. Some people just hear Crodden and they don't even think about that D-E-N on it. Way. That's
Well, gentlemen, this has been another great show. You guys are informing the public about what's available, and we will see you again in a few weeks. Bob from Oneness Mobility and Rev from Oneness Mobility Radio Show co-host. For our listeners, if you want to hear this show again or one of our past shows, go to our website, revrayrazor.com. That's revrayrayfor.com. Have a question about modifying your vehicle? Call Oneness Mobility Services. That number is 301-568-6686. And again, that number is 301-586-6686. Or you can go to their website, OnenessMobility.com. That's OnenessMobility.com. We have time for one word
goodbye. So, gentlemen, what's your one word for the day?
Celebrate Black History Month, which we didn't. Yeah, safety. Yes, Father, we didn't get a chance to talk about Black History Month. Okay. God bless and be blessed. Okay.
All right. This has been This has been a Razor Edge production, the Oneness Mobility Show.